Ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No.
Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. I'm kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
These trumpet presentations aren't over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
You no longer salute to yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the drive.
Smack dogs.
Mano a mano right here. USA's captain versus Japan's captain.
3-2 from Otani. He throws. Trout strikes out swinging. Otani and Japan celebrate a World Baseball Classic championship. And on this night, the great Shohei Otani and Japan just a little bit better than Mike Trout and USA. What an ending to an all-time tournament. What a game.
Wow.
What a game. It is the drive with Taylor Piper, ESPN 93.5. Derek Piper, Lante. No Kyle Tosk. He's been fired.
Yeah.
He told us he couldn't make it today.
Yep.
That's the last you'll hear of the great Kyle Tosk.
It lasted, what, about 2 months?
Yeah, longer than probably any of us expected.
Agree.
No, I'm just kidding.
No. We like Kyle. We like Kyle a lot. I was not a huge fan of the World Baseball Classic. I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't sit there and watch many games. I should. I really should. You know, I started to try to compare it to, like, the Ryder Cup. Like, would I enjoy it as much as the Ryder Cup? No, because that's ingrained in me. That's my favorite event ever. But it certainly adds that element, right? That Olympic element, that Ryder Cup element where it's you against the world or you against another country. I need to do that, and I'll tell you probably what happened. The last two innings of last night's game, I think, just made me a huge fan of the World Baseball Classic. That was fun.
It really was. Japan takes it 3-2 over the United States. Shohei Ohtani with some filthy stuff you heard there on the FS1 broadcast, striking out one of the best hitters that we've seen in the last decade, Mike Trout, on a just nasty slider that goes away from him. He was pumping 100 with the fastball as well. Japan had some really good pitchers. I know they had a 21-year-old that started in their game before that can throw 101. And it seems like everybody on their team has a splitter. Like Shohei's got a splitter. All their dudes got splitters, which I always respected. Like Roger Clemens, that was the pitch that he always used a lot. Can be very, very tough. That was the one thing that the United States were lacking. Now, last night they couldn't score enough runs to be able to win, but their lineup is stacked. Their pitching, not so much.
No.
Now, I'm not trying to throw shade at Adam Wainwright, Miles Michaelis, Lance Lynn, Cardinals guys.
Right.
Who, in that starting rotation, were pretty good as well. But Merrill Kelly last night was their starter.
Mm-hmm.
He lasted an inning and a third, gave up 2 runs, a home run there early in the ball game. If you would have loaded up the pitching rotation, of course, the names that first come to mind, like a Max Scherzer, a Justin Verlander, a healthy Jacob deGrom, but even like a Dylan Cease from the White Sox, Steven Strider from the Braves. That was something that the United States team didn't have in terms of their full arsenal, but credit to Japan. It was a really intense, tight game that was worth watching down the stretch of that one, and I think that the crowds were really into it.
It was awesome.
Which was awesome. That we referenced yesterday, the USA-Venezuela game,
mm-hmm.
the turnout for Venezuela, Mexico. Obviously, we know that Puerto Rico and the Dominican Republic always have very good teams too. And Japan was stacked as well. They got one of their hitters. His name has escaped me. Just signed with the Red Sox this offseason. He'll be with them. And Newt Barr was leading off for them. He went 0-for-4 last night. He did have an RBI. But
he had a good classic. A 424 on base. Yeah, it's almost like the Little League World Series on steroids, right? And I don't mean the guys are on steroids now, but they're old now, right? They're older. So that's kind of the premise to look at it. I mean, this Japan team, they do everything right. Fundamentally, they do everything right. Even when they're catching a fly ball in center field or left field or whatever, they just make the proper footwork. I'm like, that's just incredible. And then you said it, like the United States. Are you shocked, though, that as many guys play as do? I mean, with the injuries today and the money, are you shocked that – and that's why really the pitchers don't do it, right? I mean, we saw a scare with Arenado, obviously, almost maybe
with
breaking a hand.
I know that Jose Altuve took one off.
Yes.
And I think he broke his thumb. Going to be out some weeks.
Yeah, so that's going to hurt Houston, obviously, and Altuve.
Which we're all sad for.
Right. Yeah, nobody is. But it is kind of shocking to me. I could understand maybe being a position player that, you know, you'd be doing the same thing in spring training. But you're talking about pitchers that are dialing it up. You know, I know they dial it up in spring training, but let's be honest. A backfield game in wherever, pick a spot, Port St. Lucie, not quite as important as a World Baseball Championship game against Japan. So you could understand where the pitchers maybe say, I'm not quite ready to dial this up like I need to, and that's why I'm going to avoid this. Because if one thing goes wrong, if they're on the last year of a contract or whatever the case, I guess if you had just signed a large contract, then it's like, well, whatever. If I get hurt, I get hurt, right? But obviously they have more pride than that. They want to do things in Major League Baseball as well. But I don't know. I'm glad that the stars show out for the most part.
For sure.
But I'm just shocked sometimes that – and who was it? Somebody is done for the year.
Edwin Diaz.
Yeah, Edwin
closer
Diaz.
With the awesome intro music
in
New York.
Oh, my gosh.
The Mets obviously have high hopes for this season. So I get it if you're a fan of one of those teams. And there was – I forget who they were playing. It was maybe against Great Britain when Arenado was legging out a single, an infield single, and he lunges and – he was gimpy for a little bit, and you wondered if the ankle would have twisted, if that could have been a really bad deal. But it's fun to see. When you just go down to the lineup of the United States, I got it in front of me, Mookie Betts, Mike Trout, Paul Goldschmidt, Nolan Arenado, Kyle Schwarber homered last night.
Oh, my goodness, that was a laser. If there's ever been a laser, I mean, that was the one against the Cardinals that went on Wrigley Field's scoreboard.
Yeah, there was a highlight tape going around Twitter last night. Schwarber is homered in every round of the postseason, including the World Series, and also now the World Baseball Classic.
Oh, wow.
And one of the clips was the DS home run against the Cardinals that seemed to hit that mountain of a scoreboard out there in right field at Wrigley. But Trey Turner had an unbelievable World Baseball Classic, hit that epic grand slam late to come back against Venezuela. And then JT Realmuto, Cedric Mullins, and then Tim Anderson.
Tim Anderson, right, who's just happens to be your leading hitter every year. I was laughing last night. I was watching the game with my mom, actually, and I was laughing about JT Realmuto. And I'm like, first of all, I can't ever say his name. But then I was like, they showed a clip of him, you know, and first of all, he's just this put-together dude that can hit as well as any catcher. His throw down to seconds are just lasers. And, oh, by the way, he's just really good-looking. And I'm like, you know, I mean, is there anything that guy doesn't have, right? He's got millions of dollars. he is the complete package. And then you look at guys like Arenado and, I mean, those guys are the same way. My mom feels bad for Goldschmidt because he's kind of balding on top. I'm like, well, that's maybe a lot of years.
I think he's doing just fine.
I think he's doing just fine as well, yeah. But it is amazing. And you think about it, and I know Lindy said it's like every 6 years they're aware, they can prepare to dial it up a bit sooner. And I agree, like guys like Waino and Michaelis and those guys got to Jupiter earlier than the rest of the Cardinals so they could get it dialed up for this. But still, I think everybody understands my point. I mean, if Arenado breaks a hand there and he's out for a month and a half or 2 months, how are you feeling, right? If you're a Cardinals fan, are you feeling okay with him going to play in that? But I don't know. Maybe I'm glad they do. I love it. It's just, it shocks me in today's world that these guys actually do that. It really does.
And it's great.
It is awesome.
It's great. I understand from the pitching standpoint, creatures of habit. Usually if you're in a spring training game, as you build up early on lineups, you're going to face maybe half major leaguers, half guys. They're going to be right in the minors. And you can go in and say, I'm not going to worry about my stat line today. I'm just going to work on this.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to mess around with this pitch or try to get my two-seam right or whatever it might be. And then obviously as you get closer to opening day, you want to simulate a real start. But to ramp it all the way up and have the competitiveness of these games. And I think from the standpoint of one big criticism that baseball gets is it doesn't do a great job of featuring its stars.
Agree.
How many times during a season do we get an opportunity to watch Mike Trout? Like he might get a Saturday feature game on Fox or ESPN Sunday Night Baseball, but it's easier to tune in, like say on Sunday, where you know everybody's watching football at the same time. If you got Red Zone Channel, you're going to see everyone in the league that are stars probably going to score, and there's just more
exactly
of that
right
exposure for those type of players. We have the All-Star game, but it's not. It's meaningless.
Yeah,
it's I don't really take too much time to watch it, but to see a, like I said, a loaded lineup for the United States, and they're playing in actual meaningful games, that's what you want to see. You want to see Ohtani on the other side. Ohtani is making himself into probably the biggest star in baseball right now, and man, the amount of money that he's going to command. When he can throw 100 with that slider, and then he's going to be at the plate and hit like 40 home runs. And his average in the World Baseball Classic was 435.
Oh, and he's 20, how old? Five?
I'll have to effort
that. I could look. I'm on.
You're in the efforting chair.
Yeah, I'm in the
today.
Efforting chair. That's right. I forgot about that. So, I mean, he's going to be a free agent, right, next season, after this season.
I believe that's right. Yep.
So, he's up for the take. That's why, you know, the Cardinals secretly sent Nootbaar to just absolutely go become best friends. How old is Ohtani? 28 years old. So, that's right
in his prime.
And you're going to have to pay a lot of money.
Of course.
But, my goodness, would that be fun to have on your team?
Cubs got a lot of money to spend too.
They do.
Not that I want to see that.
That's a good point. It was great. It was fun. And that ninth inning showdown, knowing what was coming up, like you said, knowing the order that was coming up for the Americans against Ohtani, and knowing that it was going to come down to Mike Trout, and it's like, oh my goodness, here we go.
Yeah, and just the like Trey Turner, the Venezuela game said, as electric of a crowd as he's ever played
ever
in. And he's been in World Series. He says probably the biggest home run he's ever hit.
That's crazy.
And did you see the cool story about, now it made me think back to the Cardinals getting rid of him, but Randy Arozarena playing for Mexico.
I heard that he had asked the Mexican president, right?
For citizenship.
Huh.
It was an interesting story that he's from Cuba. He was playing at the highest level of Cuban baseball there by age 19, but 1 year he says that 1 year he made $4 a month, and the next year he made $38 a month. When he made $38 a month, he had made more money than what his mom was making.
Wow.
His dad died, and they were struggling for cash, so he fled to Mexico, played there professionally.
Interesting.
Got signed by the Cardinals, and currently now his family lives in Mexico, and he asked for citizenship.
Okay.
I think that was necessary. It's not necessary to play on their team, but it was just kind of a cool story for him to be able to suit up for them, and just knowing that backstory there. But yeah, the pride that a lot of these players showed for wanting to put on for their country, and you hope that it just continues to grow.
I agree.
The next time we do this, we'll have more of a stacked pitching rotation. I understand that guys got to make business decisions, like a guy like Corbin Burns, who's battling the Brewers in arbitration and maybe that doesn't want to get hurt right now, and he might be up for a contract.
Correct.
Might say, no, I'm going to sit this one out, but it'd be nice to see the U.S. have the pitching to go with it. But last night, that wasn't the issue.
And it's cool that baseball, like other sports, soccer, I can think of other sports as well, but it's pretty cool that baseball has so many countries that are good, that are able to put together teams that can go and compete at something like that. Probably football's the one sport that doesn't probably or wouldn't have that, or at least we don't know, because
right,
there's not a lot of football played in other countries, and I'm
talking
American football.
And we assume that if – correct. We'd assume that if the American side for basketball had enough of a turnout, it wouldn't be much of a contest. Like Spain is traditionally
right,
pretty good. There's some other teams out there that can be competitive, but this one showed that there was a lot of parity.
Big time.
Amongst the countries.
Big time. And it was fun. It was really fun. And to see the pride, these guys wear the pride of their country on their sleeves, you know, and on their, did you notice, though, and I'm sure you guys have, because I hadn't really watched much of it, the advertisements that are on the uniform, like T-Mobile is on the helmet, and the Japan team had something on their helmet, and on the sleeves there was something. So years and years and years ago, a guy at WAND, we had a WAND softball team, and we used to laugh and joke that what we need to do is go out and get advertisements on our slow pitch softball jerseys, like Subway or Monocles or, you know, whatever you can think of, like Larry's Liquor Store, you know, down my sleeve. And I was like, man, I think we were ahead of our time there.
Right.
I mean, we could have
made- You guys were NASCARing it before it was popular.
Right. Oh, we used to do skits on NASCAR as well. You know, like, the Hardy Chevy, blah, 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 Citibank, blah, 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 Ford, you know, whatever Chevy was really strong today. It's like, all right, you're out after 50 laps. But they'd still throw in every, which they have to do. And I don't blame them for doing it. They make a lot of money from those guys.
I think the other thing to see baseball played at that level has me so fired up for opening day next week. Usually we don't get that. I think a lot of people probably in the same boat with the contract disputes with Bally Sports, yeah, with the Cubs Network, which his name is escaping me right now.
On the who? What's Marquee?
Marquee.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
So like YouTube TV.
I looked down and read something and then I totally lost. I'm sorry about
that. A lot of the streaming services don't have those right now. They actually, YouTube TV lost MLB Network. So it's like,
wow.
Whose fault is this? Is it baseball's fault for, like, don't you want your product to be seen? And Bally Sports, aren't you filing for bankruptcy?
They
already
are.
Did?
They're in bankruptcy and they're still being able to show. It's interesting. I guess it won't affect this year. I've read like 3 or 4 articles on this, and we need to have like Dan Caesar from the Post-Dispatch in St. Louis, because he did a great piece on this with Bally's Midwest. But it's interesting, and you're right, because like I hear people complain about it, and don't get me wrong, I understand. I understand where they're coming from. I get it. Well, you know what I did? I went and got DirecTV because I know it shows the Cardinals.
Yep.
And
yep.
My mom at the time had Dish at both the farm and her house. And she watches more Cardinals games than I do. I mean, she watches every game, every inning, every game during a season. And if she can't, she tapes it, you know, if Andrew's got a game or something. So she watches every game, and she went through one season, I think, with Dish that didn't carry the Cardinals. And I'm like, Mom, just switch. She's like, yeah, but as soon as I switch, and I'm like, well, I understand. But you know what? If they switch back again, then switch back. You have the right to do that. I mean, you know, you might pay a little bit more, because I know, like, with DirecTV, I think I went into a 2-year contract with them, and you have to buy yourself out or something. But I'm sorry. I mean, there's certain things in life that I want to see, and Cardinals baseball is one of them.
It's true.
That brings me a ton of joy. It brings me a ton of entertainment and relaxation some days. I can sit there and take a nap knowing the game's on, fall asleep in the third, wake up in the seventh. It's like, what did I miss here in the middle innings? But I'm going to have the thing that shows my team. Now, I'm lucky I live where I can get that. I don't know that I can go get, well, I mean, I can get MLB Network, right? And that's the other thing. You could go out and get, I'm sorry, not MLB Network, but the MLB package to where it shows most every game,
it
right?
It does, but they don't allow you to have, it's only out-of-market games.
Okay, so you would get,
the Cardinals would be blacked out.
It. So if I lived
Cubs,
in Florida,
yeah, you get
then
all
I
those.
Could get all the Cardinals games.
But
see,
like you said,
I would
you
have
can,
to do that.
You can pick the right avenue. I did it last year. I had to get the DirecTV stream, and
yeah.
You pivot. If you really care that much about it, which I do, you got to do something different. Get DirecTV, you get Xfinity, and, and those options have it. You mentioned it there. You can enter the transfer portal with your TV package. Say, hey, I'm just going to go into the portal, and yeah, I transferred before, but I don't think anybody's going to hold me to it.
Sorry.
I think I'm allowed to do it and be immediately eligible once again.
But I totally get people to complain about it, and yes, is baseball at fault for this a little bit?
A little bit,
absolutely. They need to make sure that they're shown. You know, obviously NFL, the way they do it, I don't know, NBA I don't watch much of, so I don't know how that really works. I know there's games on all the time on TNT and
ESPN
and ESPN and such. So, yeah, that is funny, though, about the portal. Sorry. so-and-so, I'm entering the portal.
Right.
We got a great guest next.
We've got a great show planned.
Yes, we do.
We've got my buddy Eli Hershkovich coming on.
Yes.
Covers college basketball and sports betting for the Lines. He's going to break down the Sweet 16 matchups. Give us some betting advice for those that would be potentially interested. And we'll ask him also about Illinois and his overall thoughts about the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament.
Now, he's the one that told me that I was an idiot, right?
He's the guy that was, on our intro that said he did not recommend your parlays.
He's like, well, I'm just going to tell you right now, you're an idiot. I was like, whoa!
You'll have to remind him of that.
I loved it, though. I mean, it was something I definitely deserved. I definitely deserved it.
We also get Aaron Lemming, 415, to finally dive into this Bears trade of them trading out of the one spot, get DJ Moore, get some draft picks. We'll talk to Aaron about that haul that Ryan Poles was able to command back for Chicago. And then to finish out the show, Ali Okonkwo.
Yes.
Illini men's tennis.
He's from UK. He's from the UK. And I talked with Coach Dancer, and they've got a big weekend coming up. They've got Ohio State, number 3 in the country, on Sunday at home. Big Ten play starts this weekend. They got Penn State on Friday night at 6. And if you've never been to a tennis match, it's so fun. I love watching it. The action, as you can believe, is nonstop, and they get good support. So Brad was like, you know what? I don't want to be on. I want one of my teammates to, or one of my players to be on, because they've got a lot of personality, and I guess Ollie's one of those guys. So I'm excited to talk to him about 440.
That will be fun. Before we cut your break, let Lon do some work.
Yes. Eli coming up. I'm excited about that. Let me see. I'm going to stick with this one more time, because it truly is time to be thinking about your taxes. April 18, that's a Tuesday. That's the deadline. Make sure you get those taxes done, because it is approaching quickly. There's a few things you can do if you feel like you may be owing money. You can contribute to retirement accounts by April 18. Put $1,000, $2,000, whatever you can afford into that, and you get a little bit of a discount on your, well, it comes off what you made, right? Basically, organize your records. That's always important. It saves you time, and you know you've got all and everything you need to get that done or to take to your tax person. And then electronic filing, I guess, believe it or not, less than 1% of electronic returns have errors compared to 20% of paper returns. Probably because electronically, it doesn't allow you to make an error. It makes you answer a question before you move on. Hey, the typical taxpayer receives nearly $3,000, so use that to pay down bad debt, build your savings up, or establish that emergency fund. Just visit Busey.com or stop by one of their many convenient locations to get started on your maximum refund. Do it with Busey. They can help you even with taxes. Busey, member FDIC.
On the other side, Eli Hershkovich going to talk to us about the Sweet 16 and some bets to place on college hoops. That is next. It is The Drive.
John, you remember what you were doing, say, about 10 years ago?
About as good as recalling what happened last week.
Right. Well, if you purchase, say, a dishwasher at Dick Van Dyke Appliance World 9 years and 364 days ago, it'd still be covered.
By the famous 10-year protection plan, of course.
Well, it's included with most purchases at Dick Van Dyke. And according to one Google reviewer, they still had unmatched prices and helpful people who delivered and set up the appliances without hassle.
The review mentions that they shopped around, did the comparison, and still found the best value at Dick Van Dyke.
So can you really not recall what you did last week?
Can you?
Now that I think of it, not really.
This is Dennis Reakin, chairman of Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. Our exclusive 10-year protection plan comes free with most appliance purchases, and we still beat any competitor's deal. Wow!
Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. When you buy from us, you get the whole store.
Hey, could you tell me what aisle your car batteries are in?
Sure, I'll go grab one for you. Here's your battery. It might be expired, but oh well. Also, the brand isn't that great, but it should work for at least a year or two, maybe. Anyways, I went ahead and charged you for it, and here's the battery. Okay, have a great day.
What just happened?
Sometimes good things are hard to find, but they're worth the wait. Make the trip out to Interstate All Battery Center at 2504 North Madison Avenue and get all of your battery needs taken care of by the trusted professionals. Give them a call today at 355-4855.
In an ever-changing real estate market, it is so important to work with experienced agents like Russ and Nick Taylor with the Taylor teams at Taylor Realty Associates. They have the knowledge and expertise to get your home sold for the most amount of money in the shortest amount of time. Trust the experience and success of Russ and Nick Taylor with the Taylor team at Taylor Realty Associates. Give them a call today at 217-355-0700 or visit them online at taylorboys.com. That's taylorboys.com.
By now, you've all heard the expression, when you turn the key and the car won't run, call 367-9481 for PDR Automotive. They are what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR. But who are they? They, the PDR staff, understand that a name is only as good as the people that represent it. The PDR staff has more than 335 years of combined automotive experience, several employees now on staff for more than 25 years. PDR, more than just a name. Family owned and operated, now celebrating over 50 years in business.
Illini pizza fans, great things come from Jets Pizza. Detroit style pizza is one of them. Freshly made dough pressed into steel pans inspired by the Motor City. Topped with premium mozzarella, Mama Jet's secret sauce, fresh toppings, then baked to the thickest, crispiest, cheesy crunch. Want Detroit style proof? Order Jets' famous 8-corner pizza. It's 8 pieces of crispy, crunchy, and cheesy to the edge pizza. Right now get $5 off an 8-corner pizza at regular menu price. Online code 8SAVE. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
If you're looking for a pre-owned car, truck, or van, look no further than Sarah Champagne. You know them for their 5 incredible vehicle brands, the BMW, Honda, Subaru, Buick, and GMC. But did you know they also have over 100 used cars, trucks, and vans in stock right now? And at Sarah Champagne, they will take care of you. You can trust them. And prices begin at under $2,000. Stop by Sarah Champagne. They're at Burwash and Savoy, or go online, sarahchampagne.com. That's Sarah, S-E-R-R-A, champagne.com.
Invested in our community since 1908. Hi, this is Atta Durakan with First Federal Savings Bank of Champaign-Urbana. Maybe you've attended an event at one of the more than 50 organizations First Federal supported last year. We help make our community a better place, and we invite you to visit us and discover better banking for yourself. Experience the exceptional, friendly service from our knowledgeable staff. Speak with real people, not a recording during business hours. We're never too busy for you. Hey, if you're not already banking with us, give us a try. We think you'll love it here. 356bank.com. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender. NMLS 435120.
Thinking of selling your home? Today's market is crazy, but one way you can be sure to stand out is by replacing your old flooring with new hardwood. And the best place to do it is Carpet Weavers in Champaign. Carpet Weavers boasts the industry's best brands, including Shaw, Mohawk, Paramount, and more. When it comes to natural beauty and a rich quality, nothing beats new flooring from Carpet Weavers. And they have financing options for your budget, so you can always afford the floor you truly want. Increase the value of your home by installing new, high-quality options from Carpet Weavers. Find out more online at carpetweaversflooring.com.
Hi, this is Kirk Lehman with Aftershock Decals and Design. And right now, we are looking for an honest, hardworking individual that wants a career with Aftershock Decals and Design. If you have any kind of experience wrapping vehicles, tinting windows, we want you.
You can't touch this.
No, not that kind of wrapper. Can't touch this. Please go to our website at AftershockDD.com, click on the Jobs tab, and send in your resume. We want you. AftershockDD.com.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Georgia B at Stevie J Broadcasting, and you are listening to the amazing ESPN Radio 93.5.
Back on the drive with Tay and Piper, Derek Piper, Lante. Going to hit the Tapman's Towing phone line to be joined by my guy, Eli Hershkovich, the Lions college hoops expert, sports betting guru, and the guy that told Lante he's an idiot for his 100-leg parlays.
And guess what I still do on occasion? A parlay. I'm sorry, Eli, man. I am sorry about that.
Wow, I forgot about that. That's a good memory. Good to be back out with you guys. Fun to talk Sweet 16.
I started drinking heavily that day after you said that.
So. Yeah, that day.
That day, right, exactly. No, we appreciate you coming on. I'm just going to tell you in advance that any betting question is going to come from Derek Piper. I'll try to handle more of the basketball questions, if that's cool.
So well, he ties it in. He'll tie in his expertise on the ability to find some areas that you can attack. First and foremost, Eli, I want to ask you, I know you follow the whole spectrum of college hoops closely. What did you make of Illinois this year? I'm sure they were probably a stay away from a betting perspective because of you never knew which version you were going to get. But to bow out first round against Arkansas wasn't necessarily a surprise. It wasn't a surprise to people around here. But from your vantage point, what did you see what transpired here in Champaign this season?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you guys have said this ad nauseum at this point, but just collectively, the pieces just didn't work. You needed an on-ball guard, a lead guard that could penetrate and create and create his own shot. And Epps seemed like he was kind of coming into his own back in non-conference play, especially with those huge shots down the stretch against Texas, I think at the end of regulation, the three, and obviously Terrence Shannon overtook over in overtime in that game. But Shannon's inconsistency too, which wasn't abnormal. I mean, he was doing that at Texas Tech, banged up, and obviously Matt Meyer didn't really reach the potential that was supposed to come along when he was, what, a freshman or a sophomore or Baylor on that national championship team back when the Bears destroyed Gonzaga in the title game. So, yeah, and going back to last year, too, I think the expectation was that Illinois would kind of reach a new ceiling and play more to Underwood style back at Oklahoma State because they didn't have the dominant low post presence of a Kofi Coburn. But like we saw, not having that, you know, also hurt them in a sense because Coleman Hawkins is a solid player, but it wasn't physical enough or couldn't score efficiently enough against a very physical Arkansas front court, just for instance, in the round of 64.
Eli, in that region, Arkansas moves on. They knock out Kansas. They're going to meet up with UConn. That West region, as you looked at it going in, you saw the one seed in Kansas, the two in UCLA, Gonzaga a three.
Ugh.
UConn was very dangerous. I mean, they were a four seed, but like number four on KenPom. How loaded is that region, and what do you made of what sets up to be a really entertaining setup in Las Vegas starting on Thursday?
Yeah, it's ridiculous, right? Because you mentioned KenPom. The three teams outside of Arkansas, UCLA, Connecticut, and Gonzaga, all in the top 10 of KenPom's ratings, and Arkansas's in the top 20. So not too bad at number 18 with the 15th rated adjusted defensive efficiency. And that's a huge product of their ball pressure. We saw it last week really come into play against Kansas in the second half. And people, especially that listen to you guys and watch the tournament, watch that game in particular, probably said, well, no Bill Self. But the Jayhawks resume this year, when you break it down, and as a better, I'm sure I look at things a little bit differently than you guys do, but Kansas had, I think, 11 wins by two possessions or less. And you could also say that that was a product of having one of the best coaches of all time, not just in the current era of college basketball. But it also kind of shows you that things went Kansas's way from time to time this season. And the Jayhawks didn't have that low post presence that we saw in years past, like a David McCormick or a Perry Ellis from a decade ago. I don't know if you guys saw Armando Bacot's Twitter post today, but comparing himself to Perry Ellis returning to school. So that was pretty funny. But yeah, just Arkansas's ability to generate turnovers and exploit Kansas at the rim. Now, the question is tomorrow night in the first leg of the Sweet 16 in that region, can Arkansas do it again? And UConn, unlike Kansas, has one of the best interior defenses in college basketball, and at the other end of the floor has the post presence to take advantage of. Arkansas still has size, but not necessarily your bigger body
bigs
besides Kamani Johnson, right? Like Adama Sonogo or Donovan Klingon. So the key for Arkansas, like I mentioned, is turning over UConn, and UConn's lead guards, kind of similar to Illinois, have turnover issues that haven't been exploited yet. So if Arkansas is able to get out and transition and get to the rim without UConn's bigs already there in like a half court setting, I think the Hogs have a very good shot to not only win tomorrow night, but come out of the region.
You look at the other game there, Gonzaga plus 1.5 against UCLA. UCLA has battled some injuries. Gonzaga really came on late in the year with especially their offense. Drew Timmy was great in that second round battle. What do you make of what looks like an awesome one to watch? And if you did want to get involved, do you see any opportunities on the betting side?
Yeah, and you guys cut out for a second. UCLA Gonzaga, correct?
Yes.
All right. So this game is tough from a spread standpoint because I think the line's pretty much right. I know you, Derek, I appreciate you throwing me a plug when you were doing the article about the potential spreads for Illinois' first-round matchup. And I, as a bettor, I make my own numbers. I make my own spreads. So my projection for this game is a right around UCLA -2, which is pretty much where the spread is sitting at, somewhere between 2, 2.5, depending on the sports book. UCLA, regardless of who is defending Drew Timmy in the low post, I did a podcast on the Lines podcast with Jay Billis yesterday. It was released today, and we were going back and forth on UCLA's post defense because as good as Adembona is when he isn't in foul trouble, and that's also something to note because Timmy could definitely take advantage of his proneness to get in foul trouble early on, but regardless of it, how Adembona, the freshman five-star big for UCLA, how well he could defend any big, Drew Timmy is just that skilled in the low post where he can exploit any individual matchup. Mm-hmm. And then if UCLA decides to double, which I don't necessarily think they will, Gonzaga obviously has the perimeter floor spacers to take advantage of that with a Malachi Smith, a transfer coming in over from Chattanooga, who you guys are familiar with from Illinois' first-round matchup and almost a loss last year. Hello, Brad Underwood. But yeah, at the other end, I do think if UCLA is able to score efficiently with those pick-and-roll sets, because that's Mick Cronin's bread and butter, as much as the college basketball fans know him for his elite defenses going back to his days at Cincinnati, the ball screen offense with not only Bona, but a future pro, obviously after this season, and Jaime Jaquez, I think could take advantage of a Gonzaga interior defense that just isn't the same without Chet Holmgren protecting the rim or some of their previous better defenses. Because Gonzaga's defense, we were talking about KenPom a little bit ago, they rank outside of the top 70 in adjusted defensive efficiency, which is fine, but you normally see Gonzaga in the 10 to 15 range. So that kind of shows you the drop off. So if UCLA is able to maintain the pace, I mean, that's kind of the key to every tournament matchup.
Sure.
Can you control the pace? And if Tiger Campbell and the Bruins can keep this thing to a slower, more methodical pace, then I think UCLA does cover and win the game outright.
I cannot wait to watch that game tomorrow night. Eli Hershkovich is our guest, lead sports betting writer with the Lines. You can follow him on Twitter, at Eli Hershkovich. He only has 22,000-some followers. So he's kind of a big deal, let's be honest. All right, so that game is obviously big, the UCLA-Gonzaga, and maybe this would be the one when I asked you, what game are you looking forward to most of the next, you know, this Thursday-Friday matchup position here? Plus, what game are you more excited to bet on Thursday and Friday?
Yeah, so, for sure. So, a couple of notes there. Let's go over to Friday's card, because I think for Thursday I'm most excited for Arkansas-UConn with that Hogs-West regional future. Very, very hopeful that Arkansas can pull it off, but at least tomorrow night. So looking over, heading over to Friday, Xavier, Texas, I'm probably most excited to watch. I don't think I'll bet it, but I do think, you know, you go back, you guys are familiar, another team from the Big Ten, obviously Penn State,
Sure. Nearly
upsetting Texas last week. And I don't think that was a product of Texas's elite defense. If you watch that game, Penn State shot 8 of 28 from 3, and I mentioned variance specifically with Kansas earlier on in the conversation. Penn State shooting 8 of 28 was just shooting luck. I mean, they got a ton of open luck. And when you think about the type of defense that Texas runs, it's a no-middle defense, which is to limit dribble penetration and interior looks more so than perimeter shots. And Penn State missed some open looks down the stretch, especially Andrew Funk, who had a big first-round matchup against Texas A&M, but yeah, didn't necessarily fare well against Texas. But if Xavier and Sean Miller, who's one of the best offensive coaches in the country, if Xavier doesn't shoot a ton of threes, if you look at their average three-point attempt rate, they rank about like 290-ish in the country. But Miller is one of the best coaches in the country when it comes to adjusting. Like if you go back to that Arizona-Duke game in 2011. I know the Wildcats have had their fair share of first-round exits, like the Buffalo in the back end of the last decade. But I do expect Miller to – I think this is more of a Sean Miller kind of game because I don't really trust Rodney Terry at this point. This is another thing that Billis and I were hitting on the podcast. He gives Rodney Terry the edge just based off of experience, and I get that. It's not like the guy hasn't coached a Division I program before, and he was on Rick Barnes' staff in the mid-2000s. But I do think that Miller's offensive acumen here plays to his strength against the no-middle defense for Texas. And then the game I'm most excited to bet here really quick is San Diego State against Alabama. I think this line's a little bit high. The Aztecs have one of the best defenses in the country, even though their ball screen defense is a little bit more susceptible than in years past. And Brian Dutcher, one of the best defensive coaches in college basketball. I know Brandon Miller is one of the more, arguably the most highly touted freshmen around right now, but you know, it's kind of been an unknown, not an unknown, but a less discussed variable for Alabama in the tournament. He's dealing with that groin injury. So if you get one of those games where Alabama is off from three, which is very, it's not out of the equation because of how much they rely on their three-point shooting, and they're a high-variant team because of it. San Diego State can pressure the ball. They could turn Alabama's guards over. So that's an intriguing game that I don't think is getting discussed enough in terms of not only San Diego State having a shot to cover, but also pulling off the five-seed, one-seed upset.
Nice.
Eli, I do want to ask you about the one Big Ten matchup there in the Sweet 16. The Spartans, 1.5-point favorites against Kansas State. Jerome Tang's done an outstanding job in his first year. What do you make of that one, the first game that will tip on Thursday at 5:30?
Yeah, I've crushed people that have brought up the, you know, it's February Izzo, April, because it's Izzo's month, and when Michigan State goes on these runs, it's such a cliche. So I do want to say when Sparty has been favored in years past, I definitely lean the other way, or just, again, the tournament, like we've hit on a ton, is all about matchups. I bet Davidson last year, and they got a hell of a backdoor cover against Sparty in the first round. But I do think Michigan State, which honestly got a little unlucky against Marquette, and they pulled out the outright upset. They were 2.5, 3-point dogs, but they missed a lot of open shots. And Tyson Walker is one of the best contested shot makers in all Division I. Michigan State's shot selection isn't great when you look at their advanced metrics, but their ability to hit contested shots, which is a real thing. Like when you go back to UNC's run to the title game last year, the Tar Heels don't make it to the round of 30, or maybe the round of 32, but they don't make it to the Sweet 16. They don't make it all the way to the title game, let alone having a shot to win that one down the stretch against Kansas if Brady Manek isn't hitting contested shots. So it's not only Tyson Walker, it's Joey Hauser, who's seemingly been playing college basketball for 10 to 20 years at this point, and Jaden Akins. If those guys are hitting shots against another no-middle defense in K-State, which is much more susceptible to giving up threes, like I brought up with Texas, then I think Michigan State controls the pace, slows this one down, keeps Marquise Noel out of transition, and the Spartans advance to the Elite Eight. And I think this region at this point sets up really well for Michigan State because I think Florida Atlantic has a shot to upset Tennessee tomorrow night, too.
Wow.
Eli, we're obviously here in Big Ten country, and there's a lot of narrative. Number one, about Illinois' inability to get to the Sweet 16. It's been since 2005, but it's been a trend here for the Big Ten in general. I'm curious if you have a thought as a bettor or just someone that consumes college basketball, if there's any correlation to these shortcomings by the Big Ten. Like we talked a lot in the offseason. How good is this Indiana team? I mean, Trace Jackson Davis turned out to be an absolute stud, but they fall short. Purdue's the most notable one, losing to Fairleigh Dickinson in the first round. What do you kind of make of the Big Ten struggle? I think going into the year, we knew that there wasn't going to be a legit elite team in the Big Ten. Purdue seed-wise was, but just kind of maybe over the last 3 or 4 year sample size, they haven't gotten it done in the tournament.
Yeah, let's stick with those two teams. Number one, with my Purdue future last year, I had a bet on the Boilermakers to win it all on that Jaden Ivey team. And so I kind of had a gripe with Matt Painter ever since last March when Purdue lost to St. Peter's. St. teeters in the Sweet 16 that this year, I mean, they, you know, I brought this up in terms of high variance with Alabama. I mean, Purdue was that and then some, which showed up against Fairleigh Dickinson in the round of 64. I don't know if you guys know this, and not that I want to highlight that game too much, because I know you were asking surface level about the Big Ten, but Fairleigh Dickinson presses at the highest rate in college basketball. Purdue's guards, I mean, that was an issue at both ends. They just weren't physical.
No.
So I guess with that team, because I think it's on a program-by-program basis, I think Matt Painter has to kind of think about the way he structures his teams, because you typically have that monster big, and in this year's case, a huge mammoth big and a 7'4" Zach Edey, and then a bunch of floor spacers and unathletic to an extent guards, or at least younger guards. And that, again, was the case for this team with Braden Smith and Fletcher Lawyer. So, and then over to Indiana. See, I bet Indiana, actually. They were one of my four national title futures. I have one on Texas, one on UConn, but I also had that Arkansas regional feature, and then I bet a long shot back last April on Florida. But back to Indiana, I bet that with the thought that Xavier Johnson was going to be back. So, and as you guys know, Johnson, one of the best on-ball defenders in college basketball. But watching that game against Miami, man, like, just the physicality against a Miami team from one of the worst conferences in college basketball was bizarre against an Indiana team that has size, but Miami out-rebounded. They generated second-chance shots on 51% of their initial shot attempts.
Wow.
That is absurd. Like, Trayce Jackson-Davis seemed like he was the only guy going to the ball.
Right.
And as a batter, I'm not the kind of person that watches college basketball with the notion of, oh, the eye test is the most important thing. But I couldn't believe what I was watching with Indiana. They were so slow to the ball. Jalen Huccifino got destroyed off the ball defensively against those quick Miami guards. It reminded me a lot of the Iowa matchups with Fran having the advantage over Mike Woodson because of Iowa's ability to destroy Indiana on those off-ball cuts. But again, Xavier Johnson would have made the world of difference in that game. So, like I kind of hit on full circle here, it's a program-by-program thing, but man, like, the way these teams, I guess I give Indiana a little bit of an exception just because of the Xavier Johnson factor, but Purdue in particular, I will hammer on Matt Painter any chance I get. And I think he really has to do some searching here in terms of the way he constructs his team.
Eli, I got a quick betting one coming from someone that isn't a big better. However, you saw it, or you see it this year with Princeton, Sweet 16, 15 seed. You mentioned St. Mary's last year. If you were going to go into every tournament, maybe you do this, and you're kind of one of those riskier bettors where you're like, you know, instead of winning $3 picking, you know, UConn to win their first game, I want to go a little bit heavier and try to the real risk reward of someone like Princeton, let's say. Is there a formula to look for that, or does it just come down to luck that Princeton gets to where they're at right now?
No, it's honestly a great question. And let's take that matchup. Let's look into that one, because Princeton, Arizona, you had a high variance Arizona team. I brought that word up a few times, and as a bettor, it's one of the most important things to look for, because you're not only looking for a team that shoots a lot of threes in terms of a team to target to bet against, like an Arizona team that kind of lacks that physicality edge, and also they were high variance because they were inconsistent throughout Pac-12 play. But at the same time, you're also looking for that sort of a trademark with a team like Princeton that shoots a lot of threes and can play the opposite style of pace that Arizona wants to play at. Arizona obviously wants to run up and down the floor.
Makes sense.
And generate shots in transition. Obviously, that's a trademark. That was a trademark of – is a trademark of Gonzaga, and Tommy Lloyd was a product of Mark Few's coaching system.
Mm-hmm.
But Princeton's ability, I mean, that, again, was one of the most well-coached upsets I think I've watched in the NCAA tournament over the last decade, just because it's not like Arizona star – Tabellus didn't go off.
Right.
He had 20-plus points, but Princeton, again, was able to dictate the tempo. That's it's high variance. You're looking for a high variance team to knock off and play. Not exactly. I mean, you could have two up-tempo teams, but again, you want a team that shoots a lot of threes because of that nature. If they catch fire, then they have a shot to pull off an upset over any team.
Great stuff. Eli Hershkovich, awesome. Lead sports betting writer for the Lions, college basketball expert, sports betting aficionado. If you want to dabble in some action, Sweet 16 and on, definitely check out Eli's stuff on Twitter, or even if you're just a casual college hoops fan and you want to feel like you know the game better, read his stuff. He does a great job. Eli, great to have you back on the show, and enjoy the games this weekend, and look forward to catching up sometime down the road.
Sounds good, guys. Have a good rest of the show.
Thank you,
appreciate
buddy.
It. Great stuff.
Guy took me into depression, you know. Took me into depression with that idiot remark. No, I'm kidding. That's one of the best things ever. It is remarkable to me, and I know it's their job. It's his job. It's remarkable to me always how much these guys know. You know, I know Illinois pretty well. I know the Big Ten halfway well. I know SIU. I dabble at Illinois State, Bradley. If you ask me right now, name, you know, the starting lineup for UConn, I couldn't do that. And I've watched two of their games already. I know it's his job, but like that guy could probably rip off 15 minutes of Princeton right now. And you're like, what? But it's amazing. They do. That's why they're good at their job. Really good at their job.
I'm with you. It blows me away. Like at the high major level, then you're like, yeah, I get it. If I really want to dedicate my time to watching more Pac-12, SEC,
right.
But then it's like, let's go to the Mid-American or the Sun Belt.
It's
give
crazy.
Give us some insight on the Sun Belt tourney, and he'd probably be able to tell us some players down there, some trends from those teams, and obviously breaking down even the X's and O's, like the off-ball cuts of Iowa against Indiana, that stuff that I don't even.
I mean, it's kind of, I guess what you could kind of equate it to, maybe it's a bad analogy, I don't think so, it's like fantasy football, right? Because we do fantasy football and you study a little bit going into a draft, you take notice during a draft, you rip on someone for taking someone during a draft. So at the end of the day, you know quite a bit about the NFL, probably more because of fantasy football. So with him doing betting all the time and writing articles about it, then obviously that's going to lead to his knowing more about these teams.
For sure.
Let's go.
Got another fun hour coming up next.
I had a buddy that sent me a text the night of the, or I'm sorry, a DM, the night of the Illinois game, right?
Yep.
And he, look at this. Look how,
oh my gosh.
And I said, hey, I'm watching this at a bar. Let me process this tomorrow. And I just now realized I haven't gotten back to him. So, sorry.
Lots of process.
Right. Well, yeah, no doubt. He probably would not have wanted me to send anything back that night. It would not have been anything fun.
He would text you after Loyola. It might have been a year before he finally got back to him. Moving on, though. Sore subject. Talk some Bears in the next hour, along with some Illini men's tennis. A lot to do. It is The Drive.
Hey, all you backyard chefs and grill gurus. Barbecue season is here, and I know that you're anxious to fire up that smoker or grill, but your yard needs mowed. Yes, your wife is getting hangry, but that grass isn't going to cut itself. What's an aspiring pitmaster going to do? Get the world's fastest mower, of course, a Dixie Chopper from Dedicated Diesel in Urbana. They carry a full line of Dixie Choppers from the Z2 and Magnum residential models up to the big Excalibur and classic commercial machines that can mow nearly 8 acres an hour. This is award-winning competition pitmaster Tim Onstott, and whether I'm cooking low and slow or hot and fast, I always have time to savor the flavor because my mowing time is cut down by Dixie Chopper, the world's fastest mower. Get your Dixie Chopper at Champaign Urbana's only dealer, Dedicated Diesel, at 1313 Triumph Drive in Urbana, 217-328-0562.
You're listening to WSJK ESPN 90.